the number one recruiting transfer portal class in the country. Like, we used to hear about, and I read this in an article talking about you guys, like, it used to be like National Signing Day was the Super Bowl. Like, it was the big deal. That's what we're building towards. Like, you guys said that's cool and that's fine, but that's not our Super Bowl. Welcome everybody in. Obviously here a lot, several times a week, and always talking college football. David Pollack, Brent Rollins, my buddy that writes for PFF and Rivals. Brent, NCAA is coming down with rules, hopefully, and standards, which we're going to get into. We're going to talk to Joey McGuire, Texas Tech head coach, which is really good because a lot of these rules are pertaining and are because of what they've done at Texas Tech, which has been really, really cool and awesome. They've done exactly what you're supposed to do to build a program. But I think first, we just had Jim Nagy on. Like 3 days ago, it feels like. We just had him on talking about the Senior Bowl and all the things that go into it and how they were working around the snow. And then now that dude just got a new job. He's at Oklahoma, and he's the GM of the Oklahoma Sooners.
Hired to handle recruitment, player recruitment, player evaluation, player retention, and compensation. And what was interesting in Oklahoma's official announcement was it said including contract negotiations. And that just is, I mean, everybody kind of knows it exists, but it's amazing that the school writes it out and types it out that it's legitimately a thing. But yes, it does feel like just a few days ago that he was on the program talking about that. So Jim Nagy, who's former scout, and I think the past seven or eight years, executive director of the Senior Bowl, now the GM at Oklahoma, which you think about that from a move. He had actually, I think he had interviewed for some GM jobs, or at least I think
in the NFL.
Maybe. Yeah, in the NFL. And it's like, okay, maybe that's the path that he wants to go. And this is like, okay, maybe the NFL is not going to hire me right now, and I'm just going to go prove I can do it here at the college level. And then the NFL will say, sure, come do it in my world.
Well, and the interesting thing now is I feel like the people that don't have experience now in college, you're dealing with a lot of people that are learning for the first time too, because you've never had a college GM until now. Like, now it's becoming a thing. It hasn't been a thing in the past. You haven't needed it. So I'll be interested to see how many teams have GMs, how many teams don't. I would think you would want someone to be in charge of all this, because otherwise it could get really sloppy. I mean, there's just a lot that goes into managing contracts. Well, we had Jim Nagy on talking about how they built out a scouting profile team, you know, team of scouts for the Senior Bowl. He's going to have a team of scouts too, that are going to be watching high school tape, that are going to be watching transfer tape of guys that played in college at all these different schools that he talked to us about. And, you know, managing the salary cap, which college football, that we're not in the academic business anymore, ladies and gentlemen. So stop talking to me about that's what's next, I bet, too, is that we're going to talk about grades and qualifying and staying like in school and being a student athlete, which is a bunch of boo. So I think this is we've seen the evolution of college football, and it was so taboo for so long to talk about pay for play. And then it cranked up a little bit. And now we have schools releasing that they hired a general manager that's going to manage the cap, basically, that's going to do the hiring. Like, that is exactly where we're at. That might frustrate some people, but that's where we're at now in college football. And you better get on board. You better learn it. And I think Jim Nagy, with his Senior Bowl experience, scouting experience, I think his personality, I think that's a good hire.
Do you remember the movie The Program?
Who doesn't remember The Program?
If you watch this show, you should probably remember the movie The Program. And Alvin Mack, the linebacker, he gets the little handouts. You know, if you do certain things, it's a little more. Yeah. You know, shake hands, and there's a wad of cash in the handshake kind of thing. Did that ever happen for Mr. David Pollack? Was it?
Yes. Like, I always got a kick out of it. I remember being on TV talking with some of the guys, and I remember we did a segment on College Game Day. We should go look it up. And we literally on set acted like, no, that never happened. I was like, absolutely it happened. Like 100% it happened. Like, You find people and boosters who are very eager to get to know you, and then you form relationships. And whether you're doing appearances or, you know, for example, you know, laptops and scooters and video games and like $100 handshakes.
Your wheelhouse. Like,
yes, 100% that happens. It went on at every school. It was just kind of the degree of how it went on. But as at that point too, you're a kid that's fighting for money. You don't have money. And I didn't come from a family with a lot of money. So it was like, heck yeah, a couple $100 is a big deal. Thank like you. We'll go eat some food. Appreciate that. Let's do it. And again, they couldn't even provide meals beyond a certain point. Like I remember, I'll never forget, Brent, our snacks, because of the NCAA, we could have bagels. We couldn't have peanut butter or cream cheese. Like it was too much. But we could have a bagel. I'm like, this is stupid. We could have like a little mix, a snack mix, a tiny little snack mix. And now you go to these schools and they've got a built-in smoothie king. It's so dope, right? Like, yeah. It's awesome. They have all these different bars. And because here's the thing. If you drive a Ferrari, like some of these guys' bodies, they're Ferraris. But they're putting in horrible gas over and over again. Now you take that Ferrari, you put some good gas in that Ferrari, that thing's going to run like a daggum Ferrari. So they've learned the eating. That's a huge part of it. And then obviously the NCAA not getting involved in those kind of things has taken that to the next level, to the next level, to the next level.
The other thing that was interesting to me about the Oklahoma announcement, and I'm sure there's other comments, but it was a quote from Brent Venables. And it says, Nagy's high caliber, extensive experience in scouting, yada, yada, you know, asset. I look forward to working alongside him and athletics director Castiglione. Like, he didn't put their first names. I just thought that was odd that when you're in a statement like that and you're in this type of relationship, it makes it that just to me. I mean, I'm sure it's nothing. It's really nothing. But it was odd to me that he didn't use first names and athletics director Castiglione. Like, just too formal for me.
That's how you say it. I won't correct you very often, but these are business random relationships. It's a different world for sure.
So next up we have what seems like is a weekly occurrence now with all the meetings that are going on this offseason with the NCAA. So Ross Ellinger with Yahoo Sports reported on some of the conversation that he had with Brian Kelly about some of the enforcements that are coming within this cap-based structure for, I hate to say the NCAA, but I'll just say football and athletics because it's not really an NCAA thing. But he talked about how there's going to be a sort of, or at least Brian Kelly's quote in the very beginning.
Well, first, while you're finding that, hey, Brent, real quick, while you're finding that, like, it's important because we've talked about this. We talked about this when we talked about Bill Belichick and them. But, like, there's going to be a hard cap now starting in July, I believe. Like
July 1,
you'll start – there's no more, like, it undocumented, like, however much you're spending on NIL. Now it's like your school has $20.5 million. Like, that's the cap. So think about like salary cap in football, salary cap, not in baseball because it doesn't exist, but like football. So you have that number, which is your guide. So now when you hear this about the NCAA and basically what are they creating, Brent, like trying to create some rules, right?
A new power conference led enforcement entity with a CEO yet to be named is going to sort of implement these penalties for violating those revenue share related rules. But Kelly's quote, Brian Kelly, there will be real enforcement. It will be an across the board, consistent enforcement with severe sanctions. They will be quick. They'll be swift. I think everybody is on board with that. But so looking and reading through the article and what Dellinger talks about was what some of the penalties might be. And a lot of it's just violation of those cap issues and other pieces. And now there's an NIL potential NIL clearinghouse where anything above $600 a deal has to be reported. So all that gets listed. And much like in my world where I study like healthcare and pharmaceuticals, the Sunshine Act, where payments to doctors now have to be publicly released. This is kind of what it's going to be. It's not publicly, but at least somebody's going to be tracking this in the NIL world. But other penalties, restrictions for transfer additions, possible fines, future revenue sharing decreased,
yeah,
and then even coach suspensions. And that, like, that's when it gets real, very much so. Well,
here's the thing. this rule and this NCAA enforcement arm that could happen, it needs to happen. And every college football coach in America wants this to happen because they've been living in a world that is the wild, wild west. It is whatever you want to do, you can do. You want to throw how much cheddar at somebody? You can throw it at them. So now, who's the richest? Like, are we doing this Yankees and Dodgers thing? Like, I have the most money. I found a couple $100 million over here, so like I can go buy X, Y, and Z. I think the coaches that have lived under this structure for a long time, the NCAA structure that has been, are really excited about this to return because they're all playing under the same rules. They want the enforcement to be strict because also $5 million penalty for some people. Again, that's I just wipe my leg with that. Okay. Like that's not going to be a big deal. Suspend somebody, you know, take something like that away. That will be a big deal. Take away the ability to get transfers in the future.
Yes.
That will be a big deal. Take your coach away. That will be a big deal. I think everybody across the board, except for these super uber duper rich schools, want some kind of system like this where it's basically going to give everybody a chance again, and it won't be who has the most money.
My analogy for it is much like the game itself. What is the first thing outside of, you know, vision and this is what type of team we're going to be? What's the coach do? The coach gives you a playbook. The coach wants a playbook. This becomes the playbook for the coaches and how everybody has to exist within all of these realms. That's for
rules
sure.
Rules that you're playing by are really important. Like I would even say too, it's like knowing where the boundaries of the field are. Like we're not just playing on a 1,000-yard field. We know exactly what we're doing. Like we know how many guys we have on defense, how many guys we have on offense. Like we're all playing this same game. We know exactly what the rules are. You know how we need to get to X or how we need to get to Y.
That made me think of practice with, you know, you got half line. You're going half line in practice. Hey, we're only working half line here. The running back takes the ball way back to the left, even though you only want them to go right. And
so stupid. Happens all the time. Like, bro, that was a great cut. Of course, great vision. We're only using half the field, bud. Like, you can't run that direction. That there's a reason no one's over there. That's always going to be open. We're trying to run the drill over here, bud.
Yes, very much so. And I think it's all of these things are you have to placate in a way to the fans and to the people who watch the sport. Because if it is just true Wild Wild West, and you might get a casual fan or even others that just turn up and be like, no, I don't want any part of that. That's not what I'm about or not what I want to watch. And
I think that
when the games are good, it matters, but still there's a part of that, a small part.
I'm just telling you, Brent, being around these coaches for all these years, like the last several years, the health of the coaches, like, and what they're dealing with and how hard it is and how hard it has been to recruit your own roster and to have to deal with all of this craziness with no rules, with no parameters. And the NCAA leadership has been throughout the history has not been very good. I'm not going to go off on that, but now if we can get some kind of rules and some kind of structure, the coaches will be so much happier. Like they will all know what's going on. And again, it'll make the product better.
And I do think also, being independent from the NCAA, not being an NCAA led thing, that will lead to a little more efficiency and a little
that needs to happen ASAP. Like,
yes. Just
break away, bro. Like this is not hard. You don't need them. They don't do this might be the first thing they've done in a while that actually might be decent if they're a big part of this and that's, you know, their if this is their baby, because otherwise the NCAA walks to they hand out allegations and they suspend student athletes who aren't student athletes anymore. They're paid for paid players. And they come up and they go, here's your trophy. They hand the trophy. And that's about the extent of what the NCAA does.
Before we get to Texas Tech, I think we need to talk a little current events. I'm rocking the Titans State Football Championship. And we're making another run here. And that would be the Lady Titans basketball team, who happens to have Mr. Pollock as an assistant coach and Georgia freshman of the year, I think Leah Pollock as the point guard. I'm biased, but talk about a game on Tuesday. I'm at the boys baseball game and I would start watching on the phone to start the second half. And it's like bucket, bucket, 20-2 run, I think, is what I saw.
20-2, yes.
Go up 14, and then they row 16-2 back at you to tie the game, and now it's a dogfight in the fourth quarter at Dalton, I think it was, right?
I was running the gamut of emotions. I haven't, Brent, I haven't got that excited about anything in a while. When we hit a three and then got a steal, hit a bucket, and we went up 14 and called a timeout, I was going absolutely nuts. Like, I couldn't even control my excitement. It was so much fun. And the fans in Dalton are right on top of you, which was awesome. So they're like,
it
right
looked like a great arena. Yeah.
Oh, it was awesome. And they're saying so many nice things to you the whole time, which is great. Like, and you can hear them. There's no denying, like, they're right next to you. Like, they can reach out and touch you, like, in the first row. But yeah, you talk about like a swing of emotions from all the way to here to all the way to there. I'm like, we're on their neck. Like, this is over. And then a random girl on their team, not even their best player who can do this, hits four threes. Like, she gets fouled shooting a three, hits two of the three free throws, and then she hits four random threes. Like, and it was, I was about to lose my mind. I'm like, what are we doing? Like, you know, in pickup basketball, and anybody that's played, if somebody hits one, two, I'm not leaving them again. Like, I'm not going to help. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not leaving that person because they're on fire. And she hit them and tied it up, and it was 50-50 going into the fourth, and we took care of business. The boys going to the final four. Well, they punched their ticket last night. So we're excited, bro. Going to play in the Fort Valley Arena, their little arena, their college arena, for the final four on Saturday, baby. Gonna be lit. Gonna be crazy. Gonna be weird.
If the Titans do advance the state championship, either
when they advance, or,
yeah, win. My bad. Always. Creekside or Marist. Oof. And if it's Marist again, you're going to have to – you have a little bit of a tradition to lead up to because we beat them in football.
In the state, and beat them in basketball.
Boys knocked them out of the state. And guess what? The baseball team took care of business and beat Marist last night.
Nice. So
it could be interesting there.
We'll give you a high school sports update.
Yes. One other random update. Rest in peace, Gene Hackman.
Oh,
I saw that this morning. He was 95 years old.
When you say Gene Hackman, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
So for me, it's obviously, I mean, in sports, it's Hoosiers.
Hoosiers.
Like, it's, but outside of that, like Crimson Tide, enemy of the state.
Enemy of the state, like, was even, good.
Him is the coach in the Replacements.
Yeah. Which is with Keanu Reeves and company.
They do a horrible job in that movie of the actual football stuff. Like the things that the clips where they go to, it's, you can completely tell it's just clipped up into one thing, but still, you know, got to have heart.
Yeah.
You know,
Shane Falco. He had that look and that, he had that motivational speech down pat. Like, he was a unbelievable, like, ability to sit there and hold a script and motivate and, like, not hold like the play script, but like a call sheet and just and look at you and those eyes. He was so dialed in. I actually saw his house when we played Pebble Beach. There's like he was selling his house. It was like a $12 million house, like right there on the water. It was unbelievable, but he was an unbelievable actor. And I did not know that because I'm not much of a current event guy. So,
well, just, I mean, it just happened. And also, I didn't realize he hadn't been in a movie since 2004.
Like, oh, wow. I didn't know that either.
It's one of those things you're just so used to seeing him around, but still great actor. Michigan State also last night, half court buzzer beater to beat Maryland. I thought that was pretty cool. Other current event note in college athletics. But now we're going to talk a little team because we're getting into an interview with a coach who, to me, has a fascinating background, and that's Texas Tech coach Joey McGuire. But Texas Tech, he's been in the 3 years he's been there, 8-5, 7-6, I think, and then 8-5. It's heading in the right direction. And they happen to have, and if you haven't read the article by, I think it was Max Olson, wrote an article about their program and their GM and just how they attacked the transfer portal on ESPN. It's a phenomenal article, and it goes into some of the details and some great quotes from that. But talks about Cody Campbell, who is their billionaire booster, the Matador Club NIL leader. Wouldn't you like to be referenced as that in an article?
A billionaire?
Billionaire booster. That's
yeah, that'd be great.
What's my title? I'm Billionaire Booster.
What do you know? With a B. It's a capital B, please. Thank you.
General manager, James Blanchard, who Notre Dame tried to hire. We talked briefly about that, I think, a few weeks back. But 17 new guys in the portal. They had planned to spend, you know, right at around $5 million. They spent a little over 10 because it kind of was a snowball effect for them in the portal. And there's two parts of the article that I wanted to kind of hit before we transition into the interview with Coach. And one is that Blanchard himself talked about, he said the national signing day used to be our Super Bowl. Not anymore. The portal window is now. And I thought you think back to what most people think about with college recruiting and whatnot, the national signing day is their thing. And by the way, national signing day even really isn't a thing anymore because it's early national signing day now in December.
And there's multiples. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's more than one of them. It's such a different thing, but the portal window is now the Super Bowl, especially for a lot of these teams. And it was interesting to hear them talk about how much they've spent and upgraded facilities so those guys can come. And then the other thing I thought was interesting was they said it was explaining the strategy behind their portal spending. And then he pauses to sort of talk about Ole Miss. And Blanchard said they did a heck of a job getting their D-line, probably best D-line in college football. Issue is they're still playing in the SEC. That D-line assembled isn't anything different than what the conference sees on a week-to-week basis. And he said, I'm excited to see how a portal class at our level or at this level works out in the Big 12. And I think that's you do the right things, scout the right players, put yourself in position to do good things.
Yeah, and I think it's cool that he says that, by the way, because there is difference. And that's and people that watch the game, you know there's a difference, but I only gotta beat what I gotta beat. Right? Like I gotta win my league. And that's why all these rosters are everybody talks about it. It's built to stop the people in their league. That's why you build your roster. You build it to win your league so you can go to the college football playoff. And I mean, just, I like the innovativeness. I like the outside the box thinking. I like, you know, and Joey McGuire, I mean, he's an outside the box guy too, because he's a high school coach for a long time and then jumps in at Baylor and coaches totally different things and kind of just learn from a great staff, learn from a great coach. And then all of a sudden he's the head coach of Texas Tech after he's been a high school football coach, like 3 years before or 4 years before. Like, that's pretty, it's a unique story. He's a cool cat. He's got a good personality. He's one of those guys that actually will talk. Like, he's not super like buttoned up and coach type. Yeah, he's not a coach speak type of a guy. And I think it works well in Texas, and they're doing something that's really cool, and they're ahead of the curve, and they're making, and listen, getting guys involved with your program. SMU, we talked about that. The Billionaires Club getting together and upgrading facilities, spending money. Like, it's what it takes, dude. It's what it takes to build a program. You have to have big-time boosters that plug in to give money. Without money, you don't have a program. And so that's a credit to him. There's something about him that is getting these guys to get involved. And you have to believe in the man that you're giving this money to. You ain't giving it to somebody that you think's incompetent. And so obviously he's done an unbelievable job with that.
Well, let's hear what he's got to say.
And, Coach, there's so many things about your story that I really, really like. I'm a high school football coach right now and love every second of it, and it's really, really fun. I coach my son. I think you coach your son in high school football, so it's really enjoyable. I coach girls basketball, too, because I coach my daughter as well at the high school. But my favorite – yes, well, there's so many things I like about it, but here's where I want to start, Coach. Your daughter is a designer, correct? She does dresses, right? Like fancy dresses for Taylor Swift and like big time dresses, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. But my favorite part is, just like me, I hate to dress up. You walk into the stadium with blue jeans, a collared shirt, and a blazer. So, like, just you're not the fashion guy that you leave that to her.
Oh, 100%. Now, the blazers are usually pretty, they're pretty sharp. We got a great place here. I always tell everybody the best coat or blazer game is here in Lubbock, Texas. Man, they do a good job. But I leave it to her, man. I let her do the fashion. And, you know, the great thing about West Texas, if you got boots and jeans on and a sports coat, that's kind of like a Texas tuxedo.
I absolutely love that. I hosted an event a couple of weeks ago, and my wife was telling me I had to wear a tux or a suit. And she was like, what? I said, what? And she goes, they said it's black tie optional. I said, it's optional. That means yeah. I have the option to wear what I want to wear. I'm absolutely not wearing that, so I can get that. So, Coach, you're at Texas Tech. Obviously, you guys are having success. How the heck did you go from high school football? Like, what's the story? How did you go from high school football to getting into college football?
Yeah, so, you know, I'm kind of like you, man. I got to coach my son and my daughter. And my daughter was, you know, she's a fashion designer. She was a cheerleader. And then she medaled at state in powerlifting 4 years in a row, almost won it her senior year. I mean, she's like 132 pounds squatting 355 pounds at the state meet. Wow. And so, yeah, it's kind of the same way. You know, I had the opportunity. We became really successful at Cedar Hill. That's South Dallas, that area. You're so heavily recruited. So I got to know a lot of different coaches and pick their brains. But my whole life, you know, I never thought of anything other than being a high school coach, and that's what I wanted to be. And I was so happy where we were at, but I wanted to coach my kids, you know. And so as they're going through, I didn't think I had opportunities from 06 to 16 to move to college, but it was really important for me to be a part of their lives. And especially in that transition period of them growing from, you know, and getting older, I wanted to be around my son whenever he was going through the 14, 15, 16 to 18 year old growth. I thought it was really important, you know, and so I said no to a lot of different places. And then you'll feel this. I mean, I promise you, you'll feel this. There's that point to where it's starting to come to an end. That was 16. He graduated in 17, but his football season was 16. And I knew it was never going to be the same. And so it was kind of one of those moments of like, hey, if I'm going to do this, let's do it now. Or let's just say, no, I'm happy where I'm at. And we're making a difference in you know, young people's lives. And so it was one of those moments. And that next week we got beat in the fourth round of the playoffs. Whoever won that game was going to win state. DeSoto beat us. That was our rival. And they won state. And I started interviewing and got really lucky to interview with Matt Rhule.
Oh, how'd that conversation go?
Well, what's crazy is I did not know Coach Rhule at all. But, you know, here's a guy that was at Temple and in Philly and didn't have any connections to Texas. And, you know, when you come in the state, I do think it's, you know, Mack Brown did it whenever he was at Texas. He hired Bruce Chambers, who was at Dallas Carter. He needed to have some guys that, you know, knew the state. And so he hired three Texas high school coaches in different roles. And I just really, you know, whenever I interviewed with him, it's funny. My wife said, why are you going to this interview? You're never going to leave Cedar Hill. And I said, man, there's just something different about this guy. And we were really aligned on, you know, growing young people and what's important. And then the football side, we were really aligned of, you know, trying to be a physical football team, and that's how you win. And so whenever he offered me a job, man, I was all in.
Yeah. He's got a great personality. I mean, just a awesome human being. I've known him for a long time, and just the way he develops and loves on kids. And you're right, Temple was incredible. So you go to college, and how did you now work with Matt, and how did you take those next steps in your career? And what was that like going from high school to college? What was the biggest difference?
Well, you know, I think the biggest difference really, this is my 31st year. I started in January, so I'm in my 31st year because I graduated in December. And I've always been a defensive guy, and Coach Rhule brought his whole defensive staff. And so he said, you know, the position I have is on offense. I said, Coach, I don't care what it is. You know, as long as I'm coaching, I'm on the field, and, you know, I get to be a part of this growth. You know, I'm in. So I coached tight ends, and the biggest – difference was I was the only guy on the offensive staff that hadn't coached in the NFL. So whenever we're learning a new system, you know, there was the volume of not just what we were putting in, but, you know, the conversations with the guys that had been coaching in the NFL, I grew so much so fast. And the thing that was really cool is I think if I would have worked for somebody else, I wouldn't be where I'm at, because within the first month of me being at Baylor, Coach Rule came up to me and he said, "Hey, you're supposed to be a head coach at this level." Oh, wow. And he said, "The things you don't know, I'm going to help you learn." And so it was roster management, graduating players early, the recruiting model. Because the one thing he said, he goes, you know, like the locker room and building a team and the culture that you're helping me build, you know how to do that. The stuff you don't know how to do is the stuff that you didn't have to do in high school that you have to do in college. If I hadn't worked for somebody like that, that saw that in me, and then their ego didn't get in the way of, hey, let's help this guy grow, I wouldn't be where I'm at. I always tell everybody, if I hadn't worked for Matt Rule, I wouldn't be at Texas Tech.
Well, that's awesome. And a lot of times you need that person to believe in you before you right?
Like that. No just doubt.
I had a high school football coach like that. I quit after my sophomore year because I didn't play varsity and I was discouraged. And he was like, "Just come work out with me." And I was like, "Yeah, all right, I'll do that." He's like, "Let's just do some curls for the girls and get pretty. Don't worry about football." And I didn't realize what he was doing. But next thing I know, I got big and strong. And I was like, absolutely. And so he saw something in me. So when you now go to Texas Tech and you take that job, so now you're 8-5, 7-6, 8-5. What was the most important thing when you started? Like, I have to do this when I get starting, when I'm running my program. So I talked to Coach Rule. This is how he does his thing. I've done it in high school. Now, how did you decide like who Joey McGuire is going to be as a head football coach?
Well, the one thing that I truly believe in, and I'm never going to change, and I did it at Cedar Hill, and I'll do it here at Texas Tech until the good Lord takes me, because I'll never retire, man. I'll do this as long as I can do it. You know, the biggest thing is I absolutely love my players unconditionally. Man, I think that you pour into their lives. You be the constant. I met with every single player individually. And I didn't ask them, you know, to give me a chance. I just said, "Hey, have an open mind on what we're about to do. And if you like it, man, jump in with both feet. And I promise you, it's going to be the best thing you did." And the thing that I try to do is be the same guy every single day. Like, I always tell everybody, you know, when my feet hit the floor, it's a choice. I'm going to have a great day, and I'm going to impact people with the energy that I bring. And so I think every player will tell you, man, the one thing about Coach McGuire, he's going to be the same dude every single day. And I used to say, it was really cool in these conversations, I used to say, man, I'm kind of like the sun. You're like, it's going to rise and set. Like, you're going to get the same thing every single day. Well, we're in West Texas. And so I said, I'm kind of like the pump jack, whether it's cold or whether it's hot or whatever is going on, that pump jack's going to be pumping no matter what, doesn't care. And that's, you know, a kid was wearing a pump jack. It was Sonny Cumbie's way of like saying that was the guy, the most consistent guy during the week. And I said, "Explain that to me." And he did. And I said, "Well, that's kind of like me, man. I'm like the pump jack. You know, I'm going to be the same dude every single day." And I think that's what you do, man, because this is hard. You know, you've done it at the highest level. What we're asking these guys to do is really hard. And if they are coming into a building that they dread coming into, if they don't feel the energy that you have and the care and the love of making them the person they are becoming, then it gets harder and harder. And so that's one thing, you know, I challenge everybody in this building. Man, let's have great energy. Let's pour into these players, and good things are going to happen.
Yeah, I think that's a great thing. And the players have to know that you care about them. Like,
yes,
more and more nowadays too, they got to know the why as well. Like back in our day, you know, back in the day, you're like, "Daddy told me to dig a hole." I'm like, "Cool, bro, I'll go dig a hole." But now it's like, no. Why? Why would I do that? So, like, what about building culture when you're adding new guys every year from a different culture that have experience that are older? Like, how much different is it building culture in college football?
You know, with the transfer portal nowadays and things like that, you know, it's different. But you know, you said it, man. I mean, like, don't be scared to tell them why you're doing stuff. You know, I'll never forget my very first year, Tony Bradford, a really good defensive tackle for me. He asked a question and one of the coaches said, man, you don't ask that of your head coach. I said, no, you do. I want that. I know why we're doing everything every single day, every moment of the day. And so if you don't, then ask me, I'll explain it to you. You know, I think that's important. I think you've got to find ways, like Wednesdays are our culture days right now, you know, and we have different people that come up and talk and we put everything together. And I think it's really important that you do that, but you don't let it just be that Wednesday. You talk that way the rest of the week going into the next week. And my strength staff, you know, that when they're in there lifting, they're going to be talking about, hey, you know, did you understand what coach was talking about holding each other accountable and how we do that? Or, you know, did you understand what coach was talking about whenever he said, hey, be where your feet are? Like, what are you talking about? Like, so everybody in the building, because when we split up in small groups to have the question of the day, I have every single person that touches a player's life in a small group. So our head trainers in a small group, our sports psychologist in a small group, our dietitian is in a small group. Like, it's not just the players. It's not just the coaches. My assistant, she's in a small group. Every single person that's going to be talking to these players that they see every day, they're in a small group that they discuss the question of the day.
Well, it's just like parenting, right? You want them to hear
as many
voices as possible, because your voice can go dull and it's like, here he goes again. What's the question of the day?
So yesterday, we first of all, you start off with an icebreaker question. So like a couple different icebreaker questions were, if you could see one movie again for the first time, what would that movie be? Another one yesterday, if you could be an expert at something, anything, what would that be? Stuff like that. And then the question of the day, like we're talking right now about process and being a process-oriented team and then being able to hold each other accountable. The question of the day was, what does that look like as a teammate, a player, a coach? Like, how do we hold each other accountable? What verbiage do we use? And so they go off, they got about 20 minutes to talk, and then they come back, they pick one person to debrief what their group talked about. And so I'll kind of bounce back and forth. They always answer the question of the day, but I'll also say, like, okay, what was y'all's icebreaker? Who had the weirdest answer or who had the coolest answer? And why'd you like that? And so, you know, just trying to get these guys to open up and talk, you know, and discuss
get like their lives. Let them know you care.
It's been good, man. It's been really good.
That is super cool. I love hearing that. I love coaches that do that, because one of the things that drives me nuts is like fun is leaving. Like there's less and less fun in the sport. Like, this is a kid's game. Like, no and doubt. I know college kids are getting paid now, and I know that changes the way some people view things, but like, it's a game that's really, really fun. And then there's a lot of people that play when they play it loose and they play it fun, they're the best version of themselves.
Amen.
And, no but it's doubt. it's not easy to get them to do all the time. So I love that you're doing that. You talked about like being great at something. What's your hobbies? Do you like golf besides football? Like what is your thing that you love to do outside of the coaching and the game?
Man, I don't have a lot of hobbies. I do play golf. You know, like I'll get July, I'll let the coaches off and let the strength staff, you know, for a couple of weeks have them. And so during that time, I'll try to play golf every day. I'm not very good at it, but I do like getting outside and playing. And then, you know, I don't ever say if it's a hobby, but I have a great back porch. We had one, we built it whenever we were even in high school, because that's kind of my decompression, man. I love sitting out on the back porch. My wife and I play gin almost every single night. And so
who wins?
It kind of goes back and forth, man. You know, like we went to Hawaii last year for our 30th anniversary. And I think we got up in the morning, we'd eat breakfast, drink you know, coffee and, you know, sit out on the balcony and look at the, you know, all the scenery. And I think we played 100, we counted up. I think we played like 105 games of gin, and she beat my tail in Hawaii. I'll tell you that.
She took care of business. I like that.
Yeah, she did.
We struggle with those games because she doesn't like losing. And
yeah,
I hear you. She tends to do that a good bit. What's the best golf course you've ever played?
Oh, man. Well, last year we went to Cabo. That was a great course. I'm trying to think if there was, oh, Castle Pines in Colorado. Four of us. It was me and my AD, Mike Wallace, who's one of our big donors, and Dusty Womble, who's one of our big donors. We played 3 days. They're getting ready for the BMW tournament. And so, man, the rough was unreal. And I ended up in the rough a lot. So, but the scenery was incredible and the company was great. And that's a great thing. I work for the best AD in the world. And you know, right. The donors in Texas Tech, man, the Texas Tech fan base and alumni are just absolutely incredible.
Well, that's a perfect transition because you guys have been in the news a lot. And speaking of those donors and speaking of alumni, like, they really stepped up. I mean, the $250 million facility that you guys just did, like, you got a sky bridge now. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, yeah. You got, I mean, it's incredible. It's insane spending that kind of, you know, money investing in the program. Like, that means that they are investing in you. You know, that means that they have a good relationship because I mean, we talk about all the time. You can't get guys to give money unless they believe in the direction and where they're going. So, like, this new world. And NIL and GMs and what going on, like, how has it been cultivating those relationships? And I mean, what do you have to do to be successful? And I know you got some great alums like Cody Campbell and getting them involved. Like, how does that work?
Well, you know, they really have pushed all the chips in, man. Like, the facility's absolutely incredible. You know, we signed the number one portal class in the country. You know, they just have gone all in.
How did that happen?
Well, it's really a thought back in July, at the end of July, whenever there's a transition between NIL and revenue sharing. Cody Campbell really challenged myself and our personnel staff. James Blanchard is my GM. All this stuff that's coming out, we've been operating this way for 3 years. I took this job with an NFL model. I had a personnel department, and at the time he was director of player personnel, but I think we were also the first guy to name or first team to name a GM in James Blanchard, who went from director of player personnel to the GM. And, you know, he challenged us, like, okay, we're going to have a great year, but things are about to shift whenever it comes to NIL revenue sharing. We can take advantage of the world that where you're kind of living in. And he said, so be prepared whenever that portal opens up. And so our guys worked tirelessly to identify the right guy in the program, not just a great player, but a great person. That's the coolest thing right now, to where things are going in a great direction. We have great players that we took out of the portal, but they're even better people. Like, they have fit into Lubbock, Texas, into Texas Tech. We've been really lucky whenever it comes to that. And then I think they got a guy that understands, man, I'm a Texan. I've never been anywhere else. This really is my dream job. I love being here. My wife loves Lubbock, Texas. She told me 2 years ago when we were 3-5 that I had to start winning some games because she loves living in Lubbock and she don't want to move anywhere else. And so I said I had to start coaching harder.
That's why you went on a 5-game win streak?
Yeah. You know, and so – I told her, I said, you need to start saying that a lot earlier, you know, a lot of fire on me a lot earlier. But I think they feel that. I think, you know, the thing about Texas Tech alumni and fans is they love this place. And so to have a guy that absolutely feels the same way about their university as they do helps people buy in and push that as far as we're all in. And we are, you know, they with this building, it's the nicest facility in the country. They thought of everything whenever it comes to player health and player recovery and then player happiness. Every bit of the Womble football facility is built for the player. And then the Sky Bridge over to the south end zone, man, it's a game changer in this stadium, man. It just totally changed the way the stadium looks.
Yeah, and I don't think people realize, like, when you talk about a GM, like, I think that's a foreign term. Like, that didn't used to apply to college. So, like, how did you – and you said I think he was a scout for the Panthers, right? And so he's had some NFL experience. So how did you know that was something where the game was going and you were going to hire a GM and what that meant for the college game? Because it obviously – that means you studied the NFL. That means you knew what they did at the NFL level and their job responsibilities, and you knew what was coming. But how did you get to that point?
Well, you know, old school – I always struggled with the old school model of, like, I would watch recruits, and then my evaluation went to the coordinator – and he would watch, and then it would go to the head coach. He would watch, and then we'd watch as a staff. And I'm like, well, two things. Number one, I was feeling like, man, we should already get these guys offered so we could start building relationships so we have a longer build. The second thing, there was a couple times that my eval where I really liked the player went to the DC, and he didn't like it. So then it never got to the head coach. So I actually went to the head coach and said, Coach, I would have, of course, I didn't mean it this way, but I was basically saying, Coach, I'm going to stop watching film. Let the DC watch everybody. And he was like, why? And I said, well, I'm wasting my time. If I feel like we should offer a player, especially a player that I'm going to coach at my position, and the DC doesn't want to, but he never gets to you, that's just that's a screwed up way of doing things. And, you know, the old traditional system, that's the old traditional system. And I was like, we're going to go a total opposite way. I've got four guys that all they do 24/7 is watch film and evaluate players. One of them was an NFL scout. So he knows NFL traits and what they're looking at. And he has trained these guys. And I said, so let's do the opposite. Let's let these guys create the guys that we're going to watch. We do want the input from the coaches, but those coaches are spending a lot of time now coaching and developing relationships with our current team. And so it's an easier model and it's a more efficient model to say, hey, here's who we're offering. Let's go recruit these guys versus spending these times watching film. We still watch film as a staff. We still watch film, you know, every week. My personnel staff is going to go in with the coaches and they're going to watch the guys they've identified. But we're working this way instead of working this way. And I think we're more efficient and we get offers out sooner to start building relationships. And I think it's helped us be successful in recruiting.
Yeah, that's cool. And what you heard Coach say too, don't take over lightly, the number one recruiting transfer portal class in the country. Like we used to hear about, and I read this in an article talking about you guys, like it used to be like National Signing Day was the Super Bowl. Like it was the big deal. That's what we're building towards. Like you guys said, that's cool and that's fine, but that's not our Super Bowl. And y'all chose to do it through the transfer portal. And how did you identify those guys? Like, was there a specific trait you were looking for? Cause I'm writing down, I'm looking at offensive line, defensive line, and secondary. Right. I'm not surprised when you look at the NFL, lines of scrimmage is a huge deal. Secondary last year was a struggle of you guys. So that makes, you know, makes sense. So that's a big deal, like signing that class, a number one transfer portal class, but how did you shift from high school recruiting to that and everybody be okay with it? Cause that's different.
Yeah. Well, we still signed a good number of, you know, like we moved 27 new Red Raiders in, to their places on January 10th, and 17 of them were transfer portal, and then another 10 were high school kids, and then we have another 9 high school kids coming in June. So there's a balance, but you know, I think everybody saw, like when we're talking about everybody, Cody Campbell, Dusty Womble, John Sellers, Gary Peterson, these guys that have been behind us, Mike Wallace. Man, we're a fumble away from playing in the Big 12 championship. We beat Arizona State and Iowa State, who played in the Big 12 championship. And so we're right there. Well, what gets you over the hump? Big people beat up little people. So we got to get better, you know, in the offensive, defensive line. And then we were not very good, you know, defending the pass. And so we went out and we, one reason we weren't good at defending the pass, we were young in the secondary. So we wanted to go get some vets, some guys that have played a lot of snaps. And so we started out identifying some offensive linemen that could really help. Identifying some defensive linemen and some secondary. But one thing we've done in the portal is we don't take a lot of young players. We want to take guys that have played a lot of reps that are ready to play. Because if you came and you watched us right now go through football school, you could see those old linemen that we took. But then my babies, my redshirt sophomores and my redshirt freshmen that we recruited out of high school, they're growing and they're maturing. And so we'll have to take less and less, but I'm not having to play a player that's physically and mentally not ready to play, you know, major snaps that are going to get beat up and maybe stunt their growth. And so that's what we've tried to do through the portal is, you know, take older guys and help the young guys grow up.
Yeah. It's definitely a shift that we've seen. And I think it's going to continue, but I love that big people beat up little people. That's not a surprise.
Yeah.
Like it's pretty simple. You can have the greatest technique in the world. If you're tiny, you're not going to win. Like
not going to win.
Inertia, the bigger man moving is going to win. But coach, I think it's fun talking to you because it feels like I'm talking to a normal dude and guy that wears his cowboy boots and his jeans. So I can ask this question that I think I'll actually get a good answer. Like, How should college football evolve next? Like, what's some changes that we have available? Like, technology continues to grow. Like, we're continuing to – we put the green dots this year, you know, in the helmets. Like, how can college football continue to evolve?
Well, you know, two things. I'll start with – since you talked about technology. I think that we have to grow the replay system, you know, to where you're seeing the NFL – more and more kind of correct things without having to go and look at a little box, you know, which I still think is absolutely crazy that we have an on the field official that goes and looks in a box. You know, you have replay officials and you have in the Big 12, we call it the Rock. So you have a replay center that's watching every single game, a Big 12 game. And I think we should be able to help those officials out because, you know, you saw it in college football this year of fans throwing things on the field because of different calls. And, you know, in the Clemson Pitt game, you saw a back judge who I think saw the Jumbotron and actually fixed a play that needed to be fixed. The game's so fast. We put the officials in a bad position. I actually said a couple times to the officials, man, I feel bad. You know, that I have the advantage that y'all don't. I have a tablet now that I could watch that play and come over here and argue. And then I'm going to argue, hey, on Monday, you're going to feel really bad that you missed that call. And where they could literally be talking in the ear to the guy and getting the call right, you know. And so I think we can move that away. And then the other part of fixing college football, you're starting to see more and more of these guys. You know, I saw today LSU's defensive line coaches going to the NFL. Well, a lot of these coaches are transitioning to the NFL because they actually have firm rules. You know, I know the players, I know the coaches, I know the parents, I know everybody are getting frustrated because it's the wild, wild west. And I think we're getting there, but I think until we have Congress step in and really create some teeth into some of the rules that we have, you're going to see a lot of bad things happen. I'll give you an example. Like right now, we're really pushing an AFCA to have certified agents. I mean, think about this. We have agents right now that are getting 20% of these contracts. The smallest percentage that I saw an agent is 8%. And so in the NFL, you can't get any more than 3% of that contract, you know, and it's usually 1, 2, or 3%. And so, man, we have so many great things going on in college football, but man, we have some really things that are taking advantage of kids in the wrong way. And until, you know, we have some real firm rules, and it has to be at the federal level that they come in and they say, okay, here's the contracts that you can write. Here's the percentage of the agents, just stuff like that, just to help have some guidelines. You're going to keep seeing guys move to the NFL because whether you like it or not, that's what it is. It's become a professional sport to an extent. And so we've got to help these guys out. You know, we really do, man. We've got to help these players out.
Yeah. And I would have done the same thing, by the way, when I don't know any different. I mean, I literally would have been like, Dad, what do I do? Like, Dad, take care of this. I can only do this. I don't have the capacity to do that. I don't have the life experience. So that definitely helps them out for sure. All right, Coach, I've taken enough of your time, but last question, like, If I was you guys, like, I just think I would have Mahomes on every post. It would just be like, yeah, Patrick Mahomes. Because I called a game actually in you guys' stadium, and people don't understand that Lubbock is a crazy atmosphere. It's crazy. Like, these people are nuts. Like, they dress up nuts. I mean, I kind of thought in my head, I was like, it's like a Halloween. Like, it's like Halloween night. Like, it's an awesome atmosphere. People don't understand it, but I remember calling a game, and I remember sitting down with Patrick, and now to see his success, and he was just at a basketball game last week. So just having a guy like that, that's an alum, surely that's something that that you guys have a lot of pride in, I would think.
Yeah, that's my guy, man. He's absolutely incredible. Anything I've asked him to do, man, he's done. I can text him, and he's going to text me back. Either if it's where he has time, he'll text me right back. But he gets back to me in 24 hours. When he came out and visited, we actually had the ribbon cutting for the Womble Football Center, and I'm showing some of the donors these things. Their dry floats, their sensory beds, and man, he comes up behind me and like gives me a big bear hug. And you know, I didn't know he was in the building yet. You know, and he's incredible. The one thing that we've done that's absolutely a game changer for us is we've paired with Adidas, Texas Tech, and Patrick Mahomes. And so we wore two of his jerseys this year, meaning that the Adidas was off the jersey and it was his Gladiator logo, the P and the M. And so in 2026, we'll move to every single thing that we wear will not have the Adidas three stripes, but will have the Mahomes Gladiator. So you see Jumpman and you see Nike, Texas Tech, Patrick Mahomes and Adidas are transitioning to that. And people have asked him before with Adidas, like, hey, are you ready to do this with other schools? This was before. And he goes, we're not doing anything until I get to do it with my university. And man, the guy, I mean, you see, man, the guy wears the double T. I think he probably wears a double T every single day. He's really proud of being a Red Raider.
He should be. And I think the symbol should be the sidearm throw, because that's about that silhouette to me would be just perfect. Like, you got Jumpman for Jordan jumping from the free throw line.
Yeah.
But just Mahomes, like, literally made that famous and sexy. And every quarterback, your high school roots, I guarantee you're watching these high school kids. They all think they can do it, I'm sure.
Oh, I told him whenever I first met him, I said, you do realize you screwed up a lot of high school quarterbacks. And he started laughing. I said, man, I'm just kidding. I said, but everybody tries to do what you can do, and there's only one of you, you know. And so there's a lot of times where guys have gotten some bad mechanics trying to do what he does, you know. And, you know, I'm taking your deal, man. I'm going to talk to our equipment guy right now, because that would be really cool to have one of our T-shirts or something like that to do the silhouette, you know, of Patrick, man. That would be a tip of the hat to him. He's the best.
Dang right. Well, Coach, we appreciate your time so much. You could be doing a lot of things. We'll be cheering for you, and obviously a lot of good things going on. I think I'll be interested to see where you guys are ranked when the polls come out, because I think you're going to be either in the top 25, or if you're outside, it'll be good, because that'll be the team that I'm like, all right, you better watch out for the Raiders, because the adding quality guys, like all these transfer portal guys that I kept writing down, I was like, well, Georgia Tech, UNC, like USC, like you went and got guys with experience that played at big time spots that fortified your guys' squad. So best of luck next year, Coach.
You bet, man. I appreciate you. And if you ever need anything, man, I know you're coaching high school football, man. I kept everything that I've ever done, man. So you ever need anything, man, holler at me, because that's my roots. I always tell everybody, and I take a lot of pride in this, I'm a high school coach that gets to coach college football. I'm not a college coach. I'm a high school coach that gets to coach college football.
Well, that's awesome. Thank you so much, Coach.
You bet, man. Y'all have a great day. Thank you.